He can do it again. He can part the Red Seas in your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, He's the same God. Praise the Lord. Oh, gracious and eternal God, we're thankful this morning that you are indeed the same God. The same God who made the heavens and the earth. The same God that carved out the mountains and the oceans. The same God that took dust and blew into it and caused life to form in us. The same God who's healed us from our sicknesses. The same God that kept us from going crazy. The same God that woke us up this morning. Thank you, Lord, being a God that sent His only begotten Son. As we worship here again today, we pray that you will forgive us one and all of our sins, God, and minister to us. We need a touch from you. Your presence and your mindfulness, your tenderness and your mercy and your grace, it is what keeps us going. It is what makes life worth living. So give us a fresh touch right now, God. Pass by that soul that is hurting, that is anxious, that is worried, that is broken. Yeah, pass by, God, and just let them know that you're right here. Let them know that you know exactly what they're going through. You know their innermost thoughts. You know their pain. You know their concerns. Yeah, and let them know you love them and that you care and that everything is going to be all right because you're the same God and you're able to keep us from falling. Keep somebody right now, God. Keep everybody right now in the name of Jesus. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God some praise once again. Amen, amen. Once again, thank the praise team, the choir, and the musicians, and all of you for leading us into this time in our worship experience. Trevor is here. He's no stranger to us, filling in today. Him with us once again. Please secure your Bibles. We'll be reading from the book of Luke, the 23rd chapter this morning, and reading verses 32 through 35. Luke 32 to 35. In reverence to the word of God, please stand. From the NIV, it reads as follows. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. For they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. You may be seated. Father, forgive them. For they do not know what they are doing. I want to talk from the subject this morning, irreversible predictability or irreversible predicament. Irreversible predicament. One of the fathers, James Cone, of the Black theology, died a week ago on April 28th. And he has released several books. One of them was called The Cross and the Lynching Tree. The Cross and the Lynching Tree. Cone's found profound similarities between the cross that Jesus was crucified on and the lynching tree where African Americans were lynched. Among other things, Cone opined that Jesus identified with the oppressed and injustice through the cross and his suffering. In the face of injustice, I want us to hear this morning, he looked down from the cross and uttered these profound words, "Father, forgive them, so they know not what they do." In that text, as we talk about forgiveness once again, in that text, Jesus is going to experience a real loss of his life. And just underscore that in your mind, because we're going to talk about that as we talk about what's a Category 3 loss. It's not just hurt feelings. It's not even being betrayed. This Category 3 is when you've experienced a real life. Category 1, which I'm going to talk about, Category 1, are those just those speed bumps? Somebody looking at you funny? Somebody talking about your dress? Somebody say your hair jacked up. Somebody say your food is not good. Somebody cutting in front of you on the highway. All of those things that we get all bent out of shape, as I said 2 weeks ago, they're just speed bumps. Category ones, you need to check yourself. You need to realize there's real starvation in the world. You need to realize there's folk who are looking for water. We need to realize there are folks who haven't had a job in a while. Those category one speed bumps. What do we say about speed bumps? What you do with speed bumps? You keep it moving. They slow you down, but keep it moving. So actions, and I want you to write these down. Action step for category one offenses is to keep it moving. Somebody say keep it moving. Don't waste your energy on craziness, on smallness. We're going to get those almost every day in our homes, in the church, everywhere we go, on our jobs. Somebody say, keep it moving. Category two offenses are legitimate wounds. These are betrayals. Somebody that we trusted with information, they told everybody. They put it on social media. They told everybody they could. They cheated on you. Anybody ever been cheated on by a girlfriend or a boyfriend? Y'all don't want to raise your hand. I raise my hand. We've been betrayed on folk. Y'all use an analogy. My best friend to this day still owe me money. That's a category two affair. But we still best friends. Still best friends. With category two offenses, which are legitimate wounds, you've been betrayed. You've been hurt. They have to be dealt with. You just can't keep it moving on the category two. You're hurting, and you feel like you've lost something, but not deeply as a category three. And the action step for category two offenses, we are directed to Matthew 18. You remember what we said? Action step, you got to go to the person. You got to tell them what they did that offended you. And then you have to go alone. You don't bring a posse to beat them down, to cuss them out. And you go with the spirit of reconciliation. Look, you hurt me. You betrayed me. And you go to the person, go alone. You go with the spirit of reconciliation. And I'm telling somebody, because somebody hadn't been listening to me, go now. Go today. Some of y'all been heard this third. This is a third installment. Y'all still mad at somebody. Go now. Somebody say go now. We need to get it done. This act of forgiveness is not easy. to look at this category three. Because Jesus, hanging on the cross, was about to experience real loss, not feelings, and he was betrayed, yes, but they were getting ready to kill him. We've got to understand that category three, that we want to make everything a category three, but most of the hurt that we go through, most of the wounding in our lives that we go through, we can get over that. But category three is when somebody is drinking and runs over your child or kills your family. Category three is when somebody guns down your child out in the street. Somebody abuses you as a child. That's a category three. There's a story. I'm going to put together a list the next time I preach on this, because there's some great books on forgiveness out there. And in one of them, Smead has a book of The Art of Forgiving, Forgiveness, and he talks about a woman in Central America in the prisons, and she's been raped repeatedly by the guards. And she has experienced indeed a category three offense. She has lost something. What is that loss? She says, I've lost trust in everybody. In category three offenses, we've legitimately lost something that sometimes, many times, category three, we just can't get it back. But Jesus says from the cross, who's about to lose his life, Father, forgive them. Now, in category three offenses, Jesus teaches us a few things from the cross, many things. One, that he's modeling what he taught and lived. He taught on the Sermon on the Mount to love and pray for your enemies. He taught in his parables that don't just forgive one time, but forgive over and over and over and over again. He taught in his model prayer that God will forgive you if you forgive others. So Jesus, unlike us, he's not just teaching and preaching. He's the Word in flesh. I everybody wants to hear a word that gets them shouting and tickles their ears. But, you know, the Jews had the Word. I'm convinced preaching alone and giving folk the Word is not enough. What this generation needs, what every generation has needed, is the Word in flesh. Who's living this thing? Who can you point to who has experienced a category three and is still able to love? That's what moves me. When folk don't just talk about they're blessed and highly favored, and then when the storm comes, they flat out and crazy. What makes it real to me is the Word in flesh. Jesus convinces me that he is indeed the Son of God, because who else could suffer and be suffering? Come on, somebody. He said, Father, forgive them, with nails in his hands. Yes. Father, forgive them with nails in his feet. Father, forgive them with a crown of thorns on his head. One of the soldiers looked at him and said, surely this man must be the Son of God. My brothers and sisters, category three offenses invites us to do three things that we see Jesus doing from the cross. The first thing that a category three, if you're going to forgive, it invites us first to restore the humanity in the person who committed the wrong. When Jesus looked down at that mob, he didn't see them like we would have seen them, as just evil at their core. He saw people, humans, for which he came to die for. I want us to understand that when somebody hurts us, they become the pain that we feel. They become the monster of abuse. They become the monster of murder. They become the monster of whatever that thing is that hurts us. They're still made, believe it or not, in the image of God.
If we're going to begin to heal from category 3, even category 2, we need to see that, yes, there was a reason that Jesus had to die, because all of us are messed up. And the person that hurt you, yes, they're weak and broken and messed up, but I got news for you. So is you. Now, there are some things that some of us wouldn't do that others would do, but if you knew their story, one of the reasons why I actually switched sides from defense to prosecutor, because when I was in the military, I had to represent a couple of pedophiles. And Lord have mercy, the sickness and brokenness and those individuals will make you carry a gun everywhere you go. What am I saying? I saw in their story their brokenness that caused them to be so, what I would say, evil towards other folk. The ones that I experienced had been abused themselves. And out of their pain, they inflicted pain on others. The beauty of being a defense attorney, you see the humanness. I still remember Towns stabbed his girlfriend 32 times. And after representing him for 2 years, he was the nicest gentleman. I'm looking like, how can you do this? I see the pictures of what you did, and here you are, just as gentle as crazy. Human. We're human, and sometimes we do stuff that seems so evil, but what I'm trying to say, Jesus looked down from the cross and saw broken humanity. Somebody say, we need to be restored. Whoever has hurt you deeply, don't make them a monster. There's some stuff that's messed up in them. But if you continue to look at them and you don't restore their humanity, you will never stop hating them. You'll never stop resenting them. Somebody said they're still God's child. Not only do we need to restore their humanity in our minds, we talked about this last week, that we need to give up our right to revenge like Joseph. Quit trying to hope that they run into a brick wall or somebody shoot them or kill them. That wishfulness of them being off the planet, first of all, you only can do that if you don't restore their humanity, but it keeps you there. And whatever you hope will happen to them, when it happens, if you haven't forgiven them, you're going to still hate them in their grave. Is not going to heal your right to revenge, and you need to re-envision them, as I talked about before, but in a different context, not as monsters, but as broken, as folk in need of salvation, and as folk in need of change. I never could understand how Dr. King would talk to all these mobs that were beating the civil rights leaders and sicking dogs on them. He still used to call them our sick brothers and sisters. I get it now, because he didn't want to make them monsters. He wanted to say they're sick, and out of their sickness, out of their pain, they're inflicting pain on us. We need to re-envision them, not through our pain and suffering, but through the eyes of God. So action steps, that's what we're taking away from today. Action steps for category 1 is to keep it moving. Action steps for category 2, legitimate wounds. These are the steps to go alone, go to reconcile, and go now. Action steps for category 3, offenses. We need to really name what happened. I lost something. You need to name what happened and then identify what you lost and be open to forgiveness. Name what happened. You abused me when I was a child. You took my only son away. You did this. You did that. Don't try to act like nothing happened. Yes, you were deeply wounded. And then after you name that thing, you need to identify what you lost. I lost the ability to trust people. I lost my only son. I lost my sense of self-worth. And then lastly, step to category three is you got to be open to forgiveness. You've got to be open, as we said when we started, to act like Jesus. To say, Father, I'm not saying this is going to be easy. I'm not saying that it's even humanly possible without the Spirit of God. But I know it is possible with God. And let me just say to those who are resistant in their pain, that until you forgive, you are in the prison of your own unforgiveness. Forgiveness does a couple of things. It alone halts the cycle of blame and pain. And Philip Yancey, in his book, Amazing Grace, says it breaks the pain of ungrace. Forgiveness is giving grace. And when you don't forgive, it's ungrace. God gave us grace. And he asked us to give it back to others who have hurt us. Forgiveness alone can halt the cycle of blame and pain. It cuts it off. I'm not going to hold you liable anymore. As long as you're holding somebody liable for what they did, guess what? You stuck right there with them. Let them go. Not only does it halt the cycle of blame and pain, the second reason of forgiveness, and some folks may not even be interested in this, but it's to your good to be, it actually loosens the stranglehold of guilt on the perpetrator. Whoever's hurt you, they feeling bad about it, particularly if it's a category three. They're stuck too. They can't move on. There's a story in Yancey's book by a KKK member who grabbed somebody in the 60s and made a black man jump off the bridge, and he was found not guilty. On his deathbed, he confessed to his wife because he said, I cannot go to my grave with the guilt of what I have done. My brothers and sisters, whoever has hurt you, they're suffering as well. And so God is asking us to listen to him from the cross. God is asking us to rediscover that humanity in the person has helped hurt us. God is asking us to surrender our right to get for revenge. God is asking us to revise our feelings towards them and find ways to justify moving on and not seeing them as a monster any longer. This is not just for them. Somebody say it's not just for them. You are holding yourself a prisoner to your own pain. God is trying to free you up so you can live. Forgiveness releases you. God is saying, as he models it, Father, forgive them. Out of their ignorance, they don't understand what they're doing. A lot of times, folk don't understand what they're doing, the havoc that they're causing. They know not what they do. Irreversible predicament, that title, I'm trying to let that settle in. Because some hurt, some pain, some loss, it's irreversible. That's the predicament that we're in. Whatever has been done to us, you can't undo. And the irreversible predicament is the only way to move on is to forgive. You're not going to get back what you lost, but you have your rest of your life to enjoy God's blessing and to say, like Joseph, you meant it for evil. Come on, somebody. of here, if you dare to listen to God, he'll use your pain. He'll use your suffering to not only bless you, but bless others. And God wants to minister to somebody today. So all of the ministers, will you come forward? Two on the right, two on my left. If I'm correct, I got four here. Grab some oil. Come on, Moriah, and pray. Anointing, play anointing. Fall on us. And then we're going to minister to some people wherever you are. Thank you so much, Melanie. Wherever you are, whatever you're carrying, as Reverend Barham started, we're going to give it to God today. Don't leave here in prison. Don't leave here in prison by your pain. God wants to help you today. Will you allow him? There's oil. You got the oil for him.